MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. I'm chatting with Adesoji Shilenki. He is head of FinTech and Banks Investment Banking Origination at Absa CIB. Adesoji, appreciate the time. African FinTech, I want to say on the rise. Maybe it's on the re-rise. We had two FinTech listings last year, Optasia Local, Cash Plus in Morocco. Certainly, my sense is both showing sort of improved in potential, but also in investor appetite. It shows confidence in the sector, its ability to scale, its ability to create real liquidity events such as a listing. They were both big stories.
Yes, that's correct. First of all, thank you for having me on this discussion today. So yes, that's correct. Those two assets did come to public market in 2025. And essentially what you've seen is two scaled businesses that had previously been backed by private capital now exploring an exit for those investors. So one of the listings happened in South Africa, the GSE, mm-hmm. and the other in Morocco. The other interesting thing you find is in terms of the nature of investors that came into both companies, it was a combination of domestic, retail, and institutional capital, mm-hmm. but also international investors. I'll say significantly more international investor participation on the GSE listing. And on the Moroccan side, you know, relatively more participation on the domestic side, just given the nature of development of that market, as well. So just important differences to keep in mind. But the main thing here is that scaled opportunities are essentially finding exit routes via African capital markets. And that's a trend which is happening for large fintech companies, and long may it last.
Hey, agreed, long may it last. Are there potential, you know, more listings out there, or maybe other sort of corporate activity? I'm thinking maybe mergers and acquisitions and the like. I mean, these are unlikely to be isolated events.
That's correct. It's certainly not isolated events. So if you take a step back, what you also just have to keep in mind is the quantum of capital that has been invested in African fintech companies over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. The numbers we're talking about is north of $20 billion, mm-hmm. right? So from that perspective, it's only natural to expect that there are certain scaled opportunities now, or should I say companies where entrepreneurs have built very successful businesses, profitable, growing, gaining market share. And it's only natural for the investors that have backed them for all of these years to consider an exit opportunity. So that's one theme. So from an exit perspective, yes, capital markets, but also M&A. Mm-hmm. And from the M&A, on the M&A perspective, that is certainly picking up as well. And South Africa, unsurprisingly, is leading the charts in terms of M&A activity in the fintech space in Africa. There's been significantly more activity where you're finding large incumbent players, whether it's in banking, retail, or even in the fintech space, mm-hmm. actually acquiring other technology companies on the continent. There's also, to a limited extent, some cross-border activity, but this is still intra-Africa M&A. Mm-hmm. There's more limited international into Africa technology M&A deals happening. So key summary is that there's significantly more domestic in-country M&A happening to a more limited extent, intra-Africa M&A, mm-hmm. and to a much smaller extent, international intra-Africa M&A. On the tech side.
Gotcha. And what are the main sectors within African fintech? I mean, my sense is payments. My sense is probably lending. But, I mean, payments goes all the way back to the original, the sort of M-Pesa.
So, correct. A combination of those two. So, yes, payments. Yes, credit. But the unique thing about Africa also is the nature of the business models that have been built within this segment are also quite unique, mm-hmm. and perhaps quite different from what you find in other developed markets. So that also just means that as an investor looking to get a deal done in Africa, you actually need to make sure you work with advisors that really understand the nuances of the business models that are quite unique in an African context. And that's one of the main areas where we spend a lot of our time guiding our clients. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's just more nuances when it comes to Africa. You know, the number of countries, the variances in the business models. I mean, you've mentioned two big categories being payments and credit. But even underneath those two umbrellas, there's just so many unique business models that have been built, you know, within those categories. Mobile money is also another large segment as well. Large, growing, profitable businesses. And I think for international investors, this is also an area where there's a lot of explaining that is perhaps required just to explain how unique these business models are in an African context.
I take your point around that. And I'm thinking, you know, the US, for example, there's PayPal, there's Venmo, but those are kind of like app-based, whereas we've got mobile money. We've got the M-Pesa, which was the USSD process around there. There's ultimately the same outcome, but a very different road of how we get there and how we've used sort of ingenuity to solve problems.
Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head. And the reasons for those differences should not be surprising, because when you look at the developed markets, you're talking about like the United States. So smartphone penetration, banking penetration, ATM penetration, extremely high.
Yeah.
When you come to Africa, you know, the infrastructure for cash in, cash out is actually not ATMs. I mean, we do have ATMs, don't get me wrong, but you know, the most scaled infrastructure for cash in, cash out is actually agent networks that are typically owned by either telecoms companies or financial technology companies, right? And the magnitude of difference in terms of number of ATMs per 100,000 adults in Africa, maybe it's like, you know, 4 to 5 ATMs for every 100,000 adults. For the agent network, I'm talking, you know, 20 to 30 agents for every 100,000 adults. So that's just a magnitude of difference when it comes to the cash in, cash out infrastructure that you find in Africa vis-a-vis, should I say for the agent network vis-a-vis the bank ATM infrastructure. So given what I've just described and how important it is when it comes to digital payments, you first of all need to be able to have the infrastructure to digitize cash.
Yeah.
And in Africa, that is largely being done by the mobile money agent network. But you're also finding out that how the customers then transact once money sits in that wallet has historically been very USSD based. Also because there's just been more 2G and 3G phones in the hands of African consumers. But that is changing. Okay, and this is where the long-term growth trajectory of Africa is actually quite exciting, because as more people evolve from 2G and 3G USSD to more app-based models, there's just more digital transactions that also continues to happen as internet penetration continues to increase, smartphones become cheaper, internet costs get cheaper as well, and urbanization rates also continue to improve. There's just a significant, you know, flywheel effect that actually helps to drive the growth across the entire ecosystem. And, you know, that's definitely the trend that we're finding happening across quite a number of African countries so far.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that flywheel, and as you said, and it just gathers momentum. We'll leave that there. Ajisoji Shaduka, he is a head of FinTech Banks Investment Banking Origination at Absa CIB. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.